So John, we're going to read John 1, verse 25. It says this. Now they've been sent from the... Then they asked them, why are you talking to John? Why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And these things took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. And I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And then verse 34 says this, And I have seen and bore witness to this, that this is the Son of God. John, he's pretty clear. He's pretty clear. This is the Son of God. And I love it. And I, you know, that phrase where he says, Behold, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I always wanted to be, that was probably my second. I'm not going to talk about my favorite verse to have on my gravestone, but that might be my second one. Behold, the Lamb of God. Okay, what you wanted to do now is just turn to Luke. Luke chapter 7. So, John was full of extraordinary confidence in who God was. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. Verse 18 says this. The disciples, so Jesus had just healed a widow's son. And reports around him were spreading around the whole of Judea and the surrounding areas. And then the disciples of John reported everything that they had seen to him. And John, calling two of disciples to him, sent him to the Lord, saying this, Are you the one who is to come? Or shall we look for another? And then the men who had come to him, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you, saying, Are you the one, Jesus, who is to come? Or shall we look for another? In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he said to them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And then he said this, Jesus said this, And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Can I just ask you, why do you think Jesus said to John, You'll do really well if you're not offended by me? Why did he say that? I mean, it's a genuine question. If anyone wants to offer an answer, why did he say it? I'll tell you why he said it. Because John was really hacked off. He was really, really annoyed. And he was offended by Jesus. And what you don't realize is that John was, he had to send messengers. Why did John send messengers to talk to Jesus? He was in prison. He was in prison. And then he sent messenger, and he was really hacked off. And he just thought, no, Jesus, you have not lived up to what I expected you to do. I expected you to overthrow this Roman army. I expected you to do this. I expected you to do that. And you have not performed as I expected you to do. And to top it all off, I'm in prison. And that's not fair. That is just not fair. And I don't know, I think if we are really honest, most people here would say that at some point they have been profoundly disappointed with God. Just go back, as you don't know. I should have some of these pictures first. Okay, just go on. Yeah. No, back one. Sorry. I think I realized, I read this, If you want to avoid disappointment, don't expect anything from anybody. But you know, Jesus has spoken a better word over us, of faith, of trusting for something that we do not see. And I just need to say that if you are a woman or a man of faith, disappointment is an option. It will happen at some point. We will struggle with disappointment because God doesn't quite do what we expect or what we want him to do. And sometimes you can be, okay, so just go on to the next one. You can be just disappointed with life. You know what? Just life can sometimes not be what you thought it was going to be. You know, and you thought, by this age, I should have it all sorted. But no, sometimes life is disappointing. I wonder how many times you can look in the mirror and it's disappointing what you see. And you think, I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't. But you know, sometimes you think, I've let myself down. Or the other thing is this, how about sometimes when you're just disappointed with God? Quite frankly, you are disappointed that he hasn't done what you thought he would have done. And do you know what? I'm not exactly sure of this process, how it goes, but I think you go disappointment, fear, skepticism, cynicism, anger, bitterness, harshness, in some order like that. But I think there is something about it that when disappointment dwells within our heart for a long time, it changes us. It radically changes us. And the thing is, what we've been doing recently is that we've been looking at like things that block the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because we do want to be people who engage in every area of our lives. I do want to be a man who is, that what you see is what you get, that I'm not a different person, you know, like on Sunday morning than I am when I'm playing rugby, when I'm having a meal with somebody, or when I just want to be the same person, and I want to be the same person that brings the presence of God. But I do know that there are certain things that will block the power of God working through me. And one of the factors is the fact that I need to be self-reliant. I don't know that God loves me. Another fact is that fear that can really cripple me. Another thing is that I am a judgmental person. The other thing is disappointment. If we are not dealing with disappointment, we're in a tricky place. I have a friend, Jill and I have a dear friend, and they had something wrong with their legs. And this was probably 20 years or so ago. And that we were in a place where we really, you know, a church really prayed for healing. But I suspect we didn't quite have the maturity to be able to help people process the fact that, you know, we all pray for people to be healed, but sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. And we weren't able to handle that very well, or the church that we were in at the time. And to be honest, this person and their family, they lost their way a little bit in faith for quite a long time because they just felt that, God, you should have done this. And when I prayed, I was not lacking faith. You should have done it, but you didn't. And it messed them up. And, you know, there's still a legacy. And I think there are times when I feel I have been disappointed with God. Not that disappointed. but here we go. Jesus speaks a better word. Right, we're going to do this. I know that actually when disappointment, actually I think sometimes it emotionally gets you because you almost feel actually the way that I've been robbed of faith by me not processing disappointment. I think sometimes I've been robbed by what God's called us to do because we've allowed this disappointment just to fester within us. And you think it's this cancerous thing and you think, no, get it out. We must not allow this this disappointment just to rob us of all that God has got for us. So I just think, I want to show you actually how I feel we can process disappointment in a way that brings release and actually enables us to go into any situation and to bring the goodness of God. First thing is this. Cool. I want to read you, these are some words, okay, that I think should really be written into a new worship song. I want you to imagine this most upbeat, okay, upbeat tune. If I could sing it for you, I would. Oh Lord, oh God, will you forget me forever? I'm not going to carry on, okay, because it's frankly, it's done, okay, and it'll burn something into your mind that you don't want burned into your mind, okay, how badly I sing. How long will you hide your face from me, oh God? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? And the thing is, we don't often hear this in worship songs, do we? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. Okay. If you want to deal with disappointment, just go back one, John. If you want to deal with disappointment, the first thing you need to do is just to get quite real about the fact that you are very disappointed. You just have to be really honest. And I know that actually there are many Christians that will not admit to being disappointed in God. Because if they admit that they're being disappointed in God, they think it reflects badly on them, and therefore it reflects badly on the God who saved them. And sometimes you just keep on saying God is good, but occasionally it wears thin. You just keep saying it. I'm not going to admit to being disappointed. No, God is good. God is good. Inside I'm crying. God is good. Now, there are certain times when you proclaim truth over yourself, and you have to do that, but there are other times when the Bible is brutally, brutally honest. Okay, another one that is quite interesting, Psalm 22. Oh, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry to you by day, but you do not answer, and by night, and I find no rest. If you think that being honest about your disappointment is ungodly, you've got to think again and read some of the Psalms. If you want to be real, if you want to deal with disappointment well, I think God wants to say to you that as you are honest with him, he comes running to you. Because he loves honesty. He loves honesty in the psalmists, and they speak it. And I think if you feel, I am disappointed with God, I think you should go home and you should close your door, or you should turn off any electronic devices. And I think that, by the way, this is my great insight for the morning. The great revelation is when it says go home and shut your door, the modern version of that is turn off your phone and your iPad. That's what it means, okay? Just so you know. Go away, shut yourself away, and get honest with God. And write some stuff down. Or if you want to talk to somebody, you go and find somebody and say, did you know what? I am disappointed with God. This is what it says at the end of that psalm that we read. Just put it up now, can you, John? The last verse says this. He goes on and on about how God has forsaken him, how his enemies prevail him. And then he says this, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. We are not to stay in this place of just confessing our disappointment, but God wants us to take us to a new place of trusting him. The second thing that I think we need to do, and I want to recommend to you that what we're talking about this morning has been based in what Simon Holly has written in his book, Sustainable Power. Just urge you to read the book. It's one of the most helpful books that I've read in this area here. The second thing to do is this. And again, one of the most helpful things that I've found is to focus on what God is doing and not what he's not doing. Because if you focus on what God is not doing, that's by definition, you'll be disappointed. Because you think, why aren't you doing this? And I remember years ago, I suddenly realized that I read this story of the Pool of Bethesda, and there was one person that Jesus went in there and healed. And I would want to be saying to him, yeah, but what about all the others? What about all the others who didn't heal? Why didn't you heal? And no, God says, focus on what I am doing. Focus on what you see me doing. And I think that's why we want to be a church, and I want to be a person that is eternally grateful and full of gratitude for what God is doing. That's why it's great to have people like Michelle coming up and saying, like stories of testimonies, they're great, because it focuses on what God is doing, not what God is not doing. I think that's why we want to, when people come and do something, we want to cheer and we want to clap and we say, yeah, go for it. That's why I think I've learned to try and celebrate other people's successes when I am not in that place of success. I want to be a person that celebrates other people's breakthroughs. I don't know what's happening to this, but is it my shirt? It's not actually, it's the wire. There you go, is that better? I want to be somebody who will celebrate other people's successes as best as I possibly can. When somebody sees something that goes really well, I'm going to say, yeah, that is fantastic. Because, you know, sometimes I have to celebrate other people's successes before I see something, I see breakthrough myself. Because it's about trusting God and saying, no, what God, what you are doing is a very, very good thing. I want to move on fairly quickly because I've got five things to look at. That's the second, and I want to have time for us to pray before the kids come in 12 minutes' time. Number three, understand that you will not understand everything. You won't. I felt that there were promises that God spoke over my life years ago that I held on to, but at the moment they still haven't come to fruition. And I still wonder about it. I think, God, what are you doing? Why is that? And you know, sometimes I just don't think I will understand. What was it that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi when the leg irons were tightly round his leg and chafing the skin away and he didn't see a lot of sunlight? He said this, rejoice. And again, I say to you, rejoice. Now, I don't think really Paul understood why he was in prison. I don't think he didn't understand, but in some ways I think if somebody said, okay, here you go, you're out now, Paul, he said, fantastic, I'm off. I don't think he wanted to be there, but there was something about the faith that God had put within him. So, okay, even in that place, I'm going to say, I will rejoice, and again, I will rejoice. So I read this quote. So it's a favorite verse of mine, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll make your path straight. We like it. There's this quote that says this, you can't trust in the Lord with all your heart if you're trying to depend on your own understanding at the same time. And you can't. And sometimes we just will not understand why things that we had thought were going to happen were going to happen. They didn't happen or they did happen. Why? And I don't know. And occasionally people would say to me, and I feel it's a privilege that people would want to ask me the question, Duncan, why do you think this has happened? And you know, sometimes I don't know. I don't know, but I do know that God is good and that God loves us. I don't know why some people get healed and other people don't. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know why some people's life just seems to be really blessed and really easy. And other people's life, it just seems to be like really, I don't understand it. But I will hold on to this, that God loves me, that God has a plan for a life. And actually, the things that I understood the least, with the passage of time, sometimes I can see with greater clarity that God was there and God was working. Number four is this. We can untangle some theological knots. Because I believe that God, one of the shifts that God is making in the church is this. That we're coming to a better place of understanding that God is for us. That God loves us. That God likes you. That God looks on your life and he smiles. And you can say, yeah, no, but I am unworthy. Now, the truth is, yeah, you're dead right, you're unworthy. To be honest. But when your Heavenly Father looks on you, he does not see your unworthiness and your filthy, rotten, stinking sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ. And now the thing is, if I said to you, put your hands up if you're perfect.
We ain't going to do it, are we?
Hebrews 10, verse 14 says this. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now, I understand that we are not perfect. We do not live sinless lives. But by this once for all time sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, I have been perfected. And I stand here before you. Am I sinless? No. But I stand here righteous before Christ. And if Jesus was standing here right now, I promise you I could look him in the eye and I would not have to turn away in shame. I wouldn't have to do that. I wouldn't have to say, oh, actually, it's a bit embarrassing because I know that you can see right into my life and you can see everything that I've done and, oh, no, it's awful. No, God says, no, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, the issue, what it means is this, is that there's a theological knot, did God cause me harm? And I think the one thing that you can say is this, God is good and the devil is bad. And occasionally, God will use bad for good reasons, but he wants to bless you. And you know, you could almost draw a line under that. You could draw a line and say, no, God is good and the devil is bad. He will occasionally use bad things to cause you to grow, but actually his heart is to bless you. He is for you. And I just, it's a revelation. I'm growing into it more and more, that actually God's heart is so, so for us. Last one is this. And then we're just going to pray. I feel that Jesus has spoken a better word over us, which means it's about grace. And it's about loving one another. And in a minute, we're going to stand up and I'm going to pray over us. And I'm going to pray over us that, you know, for those of us who have been disappointed in life, that we will go through this process of actually being honest with God and trying to understand how we can deal with disappointment well. But there is a process to walk through. And actually, I'd love us to be the most loving church in town. Do you know, I really would. It would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if people came in here and they thought, do you know what, I can be really honest with this. So actually, I said to Kath before she talked about that book, are you okay to share about the fact that you've had quite a few miscarriages? I don't want Kath to feel exposed or vulnerable. There is something about honesty that actually opens doors for blessing. But I want us to be one of the most loving people in town. And the process of dealing with disappointment is this, that we would find greater freedom in Christ, that we would know the greater flow of the Holy Spirit working through us, that we would be able to minister to people more and more in love. Dealing with disappointment, go home and be honest before God. Number two, choose to focus on what God is doing, not what he is not doing. Number three, just realize we won't understand everything. Number four, trust that God is good and he wants to bless you and he is your heavenly Father. And number five, we need to love others through a process of dealing with disappointment. So can you... No, I'm going to do it differently. In a minute, I'm just going to ask you to stand with me if you have felt disappointment in your life. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister grace and love into your life. Father, we want to thank you that you are a good God. Lord, we want to be people who are honest and we bring our levels of disappointment to you, that we say we do not want to stay there. We do not want disappointment, Lord, to be this boulder in our life that stops the flow of the Holy Spirit. We want to be men and women who are able to minister grace and love and joy and peace. And we ask you, oh God, that we would be able to deal with disappointments that have dogged us for many, many years. Thank you. So if you felt disappointment in your life, just want to invite you now, just stand with me and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we stand before you now as your beloved children. But we want to stand before you with a level of honesty and integrity to say that it hasn't always been as we had hoped. And we confess now, O God, that sometimes disappointment has dogged us and robbed us of joy. But we say now in Jesus' name that we will deal with it in you. Holy Spirit, I just invite you to come and minister into our lives. Lord, when we have tried to and sought to understand everything and not trusted you, we confess our sin to you now. Oh God, when we have not trusted that you loved us, when you have been for us, Lord, we confess our sin now. When we have not been loving towards other people who have struggled with disappointment, we confess our sin before you. And as we confess our sin before you, we just ask you, Lord, come minister to us. Because, Lord, we know that you have called us to be a people that are salty and light to an unbelieving world. We know that you've called us to be bringers of the kingdom of God. And we say now, come and do a mighty work in our lives, we pray. I want to ask, Lord, that this would be the beginning of a process, that we would be able to go home and to be in the quiet place, that we would write songs, or we would write poems, or we would journal about it, or we would talk to our best friends, or we would shout at you, but actually there'd be this process that begins right here and right now, where we say disappointment, oh God, will no longer dominate our lives, disappointment will no longer shape who we are, but we say no, instead, that we will be free in you, oh God, because we know that you love us, we know that you are setting us free for a greater thing, we know, oh God, that you have spoken a better word over our lives, and we say, come Lord. Come minister to us, I pray. Father, thank you.